Riders up!
This is Riders Up with Frank Lyons and John Gaver, your one-stop shop for all the Sunday morning racing information that you need. Let's get this party started. Here's Frankie.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to ESPN Radio. Riders Up with Johnny Gaver. Johnny, how are you?
All good, buddy.
Today on the show, we have Nick Casado from Slam Dunk Racing. It's a syndicate out in California. They've been getting more popular every week. They've had some great success this year also. And then we're also going to have a top 10 of the horses in the country. That's our own personal top 10. Johnny, you ready for that?
I am ready and willing.
Ready and willing. Very good. And then we're also going to handicap Churchill Downs this afternoon. Churchill has a few nice maidens, 100,000 optional claimer, one other than. We'll get into all of that. But before we get to that, we have the lovely Milena Balboa.
Hello, Frank. Good morning, John. In the news this week, as of September 15th, after the first 5 days of Keeneland's annual yearling sale, Tappet heads the leading sires list, with 16 of his progeny sold at an average price of $990,625 for gross sales of $15,850,000. Rounding out the top five leading sires to date in the sale are Scat Daddy, Pioneer of the Nile, Medaglia d'Oro, and Warfront. Sales topping prices also went to Tappet, with a filly out of Pretty and Smart, consigned by Van Meter Gentry Sales and sold to MV Magnier for $2.7 million. A colt out of Miss Bessie Lou named Gunnet, which was consigned by TaylorMade Sales Agency and sold to Whisper Hill Farm LLC for $2.6 million. And a colt out of Tis Miss Sue, consigned by Paramount Sales and sold to Shadwell Estate Company Limited for $2.5 million. Kentucky Downs wrapped up their boutique five-day all-turf meet with record-shattering wagering up 34% from last year. Wagering from all sources on Kentucky Downs' 2017 meet, which ended on Thursday, totaled $30,246,887.68, an average of $6,049,377.52 per day, and reflects an increase of 34.19% over the $22,540,761.22 bet in 2016. Off-track betting on the meet was $29,217,935.98, up 35.2% from last year. Kentucky Downs registered its top two single-day betting totals at $8,487,323.27 on September 9th and $6,044,717.15 on September 10th. Only 5 years ago, the entire five-day meet totaled $7.57 million. A total of 522 horses ran at the meet for an average field size of 10.4, a figure that is among the highest in the country. Trainer Louis Roussel III, who conditioned 1988 Preakness and Belmont Stakes winner Risen Star, entered the winner's circle for his 1,000th win on September 15th when a horse he owns, Heaven's Whisper, won the fourth race at Arlington International Racecourse on debut.
Here's Heaven's Whisper. Heaven's Whisper has taken the lead with one more furlong to go. Divorce charging on the outside. Valiant Lady, Prado Jet End, Superstar Diva. They're coming inside the final 16th. It's Heaven's Whisper. It's a milestone made. Heaven's Whisper for Louis Roussel III's 1,000th career win. Second close between Divorce and Superstar Diva. They were followed home by Valiant Lady, and Prado Jet was last. It's Heaven's Whisper. It's Louis' day.
Roussel, who earned his first win as a trainer in 1967 and owned the Fairgrounds race horse in his native New Orleans from 1977 to 1990, reached the milestone with one of his homebred. Thanks and praise to the Lord, Roussel said. Everyone has been so kind to me my whole life in this business. I want to thank the valets, the gate crew, the exercise guy, the jockeys, the grooms, and the hot walkers. It's them, it's not me. I was just lucky enough to be here today. Thoroughbred Charities of America, the TCA, has provided a grant for emergency relief to Caribbean Thoroughbred Aftercare, a Puerto Rico-based nonprofit organization. The grant will be used to provide hay to the hundreds of racing and retired thoroughbreds living on the U.S. Virgin Islands of St. Thomas, St. John, and St. Croix, recently devastated by Hurricane Irma. The grant will originate from TCA's Horses First Fund, which was established by LNJ Foxwoods in 2006 to assist thoroughbreds in need of emergency aid. A container ship carrying nearly 500 bales of hay arrived in St. Thomas earlier this week, and a portion of it was transported to the Clinton Phipps Racetrack in Charlotte-Amalie for distribution. The remainder will be transported to St. John and St. Croix as ports reopen. To support the TCA's Horses First Fund, please visit tca.org. Jockeys Victor Carrasco and Jose Ferrer were seriously injured September 14th after five horses fell during the running of the third race at Delaware Park. Both jockeys were transported to Christiana Hospital, located directly behind the racetrack. No other riders involved were hurt, and all of the horses escaped serious injury. Ferrer fractured eight ribs and suffered a collapsed lung, and Carrasco suffered fractures of the fibia and tibia of his right leg and underwent surgery on September 15th. After surgery, Carrasco tweeted to his fans, "I came out of surgery 100%. We wish them both a swift recovery." And that's all for this week, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Milena. And so now I think we're going to get into a little handicapping, John. Churchill Downs this afternoon. Got some nice racing. Got some wide open fields. Which race do you want to start with?
You want to take a look at maybe the third?
Absolutely.
$100,000 high-end, optional claiming, classified allowance race. Going 5/8 on the grass.
Now, have you got all the scratches, John?
I do not have scratches, but we're going to roll the dice here and pretend that all these horses are going to run. Weather's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
This is a pretty small field here, so I am going to go out on a limb and say they'll all go.
Yeah. So in this race, the morning line favorite
is the
three horse, Platinum Prince.
Yes. Very nice horse.
Winless at Churchill.
Winless at Churchill. Going blinkers on today.
Blinkers on. Comes off a third-place finish with Julian Leperoux at Saratoga last time out behind Big Rock and Hoji. Very nice horse.
Yeah, definitely so. Hoagie came back to win Kentucky Downs and just as a hard knock. I mean, that horse is a hard knocker. He tries every time. He's like 8, I think.
He was claimed for $85,000, wasn't he?
Claimed from Scott Becker, used to train him. I've followed the horse for a long time. He's a neat old horse for $80,000, I think, and came back and won a stake off the claim for Maker at Kentucky Downs and I think the stake was like $350,000.
Yeah.
So you can do the math.
Nice turnaround
on that and made some cash.
So there's quite a bit of speed.
Very much so.
In this race tomorrow.
And I don't know. Platinum Prince is a nice horse. The horse that interests me in here is Rivers Runs Deep, the 6 for Chris Hartman.
Yeah,
good trainer. Spots his horses very well. Always high percentage guy. Very handy horse who I think can sit the trip in here, right off a quick pace and gets Corey Lannery, who I believe has won some kind of crazy like 13 out of the last 15 meets at Churchill. Has been the leading rider there. So he, I can't recall. I think he had a couple winners on the opening day card at Churchill. So I'm going to go with Rivers Run Deep at 7-2 on the morning line.
Well, he's a 6-year-old that is a millionaire. He's won 18 out of 36, so exactly 50%, but yet to win on the grass. But he's only had 3 starts.
That's the knock on him, which I hope will get the price up there a little bit. He just got beat a half length in the Mighty Bow at Churchill over the Matt Wynn course last summer. So he can handle it. He just hadn't gotten there yet. So hopefully today is the day.
And he'll recognize that horse to his outside because that's the horse that beat him in the Mighty Bow.
He's a nice horse as well for Greg Foley. He is a fast fellow, that is for certain. And he pretty much shows up every time to play. Veteran turf sprinter. He'll be tough in there. I mean, this is a well-matched field. I mean, the odds kind of tell you it's 4-1, 7-2, 3-1, 5-2. It's a good race, compact, but good betting race.
I would go with the three platinum prints.
He's a nice horse.
Well, I love the timing of his races. He comes from Saratoga. Now, I'm not sure about the blinkers on. I know Mike Tomlinson has always done very well at Churchill, and he'll know about platinum prints, but the horse has had 17 starts and it doesn't show blinkers on in the last 11. So the blinkers on are either going to make a difference or they're not going to make a difference. You know, they could have a negative effect on the horse too. Sometimes when you put blinkers on a horse, you don't know what, you know, you obviously want a little more speed, a little more focus. And the horse has yet to run a bad race. I mean, in the Park Stash, two starts back, he faced Pure Sensation, won by 5 lengths. So he's only beaten about a length for second.
And, I mean, he's been hooking, I mean, even though this is a tough race, I mean, he's been hooking better horses. You would almost say that he's dropping down in class a touch in this spot, even though this is no gimme by any stretch of the imagination. But that's a very live race at Saratoga that the Gray's coming out of. So I wouldn't talk you off of him by any stretch of the imagination.
And that was he raced on the 8th of July, and then he came back on the 3rd of August. And now he gets to the 17th of September. So that's about 6 weeks.
It's a good spacing.
Good spacing. So you're going with Rivers Run Deep. I'm going with Platinum Prince. Now, what about the 5th race? This is a very interesting maiden.
This is a wide-open kind of a grab-bag affair. I mean, there's a $300,000 ghost zapper for Dale Romans in the hunt for leading all-time trainer honors there at Churchill. I actually like the 4 horse in here with the experience coming from Del Mar. Got beat a length on debut at Del Mar, going 5.5 panels.
Finished 3rd at 70-1.
70-1. Beat a length in there. And has always, and these, you know, there's a couple others in here that have run before, and I tend to gravitate towards the horses with experience over the big works and big sales prices that are apparent in this race and the other maidens on the card. But I'm going to go with the 4 turnaround, and hopefully moves forward in his second career start.
Well, the 8 horse is kind of interesting. Gotta go. He's a $250,000 Shanghai Bobby out of an Unbridled Song mare. Yeah. Finished 5th, beaten 8 lengths. First time out at 6-1. And, I would say that Ian Wilkes was just getting a race into him.
Yes. Not the strongest numbers first time out of the box for him.
Not the strongest numbers second time out either. But
right. He tends to kind of run his horses into shape, but I know he's got that, what's the name of that, Zip On By, who I think broke his maiden first time out for Ian. I mean, he can get one, you know. He's good with a young horse, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, very good. An Australian trainer. Great trainer. And I kind of, I would say that from the draw and everything in this race, that the 8 horse is going to improve a lot. He's 8-1, and he'll be every bit of 8-1. And that's where I would go. He's got to go.
If I can see that. Gets a little extra furlong to work with today.
Yep.
I kind of like the rider change to Landeros, maybe a little more aggressive coming out of the gate. Couldn't steer you clear of that one. We'll definitely improve in his 8-1 on the morning line, so that's always nice.
And he was slow out of the gate last time out. It was slow early on, they said, and then a belated rally on the answer. We should have asked Sophie Doyle.
We should have.
Yeah. But anyway, that's...
I'm not that smart to do.
Yeah. So also in that race, I do like the 10, Bo Reddy, who ran on the grass first time out, didn't really care for the grass, or maybe it was first time out with Wayne Lucas. Wayne Lucas is another trainer that, they don't show up first time out, and they'd, show their better form in their next couple of starts. And I think that Bo Reddy at 5-1, he's by Oxbow, he's a homebred for the Calumet farm. I like Oxbow. I think that Oxbow is going to come with a couple of runners. He's by deputy minister, so you wouldn't expect him to, by Awesome again, who is by deputy minister. So you wouldn't expect him to be real quick, especially being by Awesome again.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely two turns in his scope down the line, and he improved on the dirt. He's got a kind of a dirt pedigree, and Wayne Lucas is he's having a pretty solid year. He had a good meet up at Saratoga. I'm rooting for the guy, the coach. I love him.
Do you know that that Tisnow horse that won the hopeful
Sporting Chance?
He's got every chance of being such a good horse. Because he'll be a better horse around two turns.
No doubt about it. I mean, like, he doesn't really know what he's still a little green. I mean, he ducked out pretty bad in that last start, but still,
Have you ever seen a horse hang on?
That was crazy. And I mean, it was like, you know, the jock's just sitting there, and it was like, you know, in a split second, he's like over on the outside rail almost.
It was incredible that he managed to stay on.
Athletic sucker, I'll say that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know. He's going to be you got to look for him probably down the line. If he holds together, he'll be on the Triple Crown trail for certain.
Yeah,
For D. Wayne.
Delighted to see D. Wayne back on the. Every time he comes with a big. When he was doing so good, and you kind of rooted against him. But,
oh yeah, yeah. I used to just didn't like him at all. Now I love the guy. Went to hear him speak a couple of years ago at a auction in Saratoga.
Huh.
And I mean, he could sell like ice to an Eskimo. Sure. He's a great. I mean, what an engaging speaker and a good guy, and like spent 3 hours of his night helping, you know, for a good cause. I can't remember what it was, but a charity organization in Saratoga. Is awesome guy.
I always said that if the horse business outgrew Wayne, as it looked like he was going, you know, to fade out into the sunset, that Wayne should represent the whole horse business, you know, with things that you have to go to the government about. That, you know, it's no use sending someone that really doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Send Wayne Lucas. He'll get it done. Yeah. He'll just get her done.
He's just positive. He makes you kind of feel good about yourself after you talk to the guy. I mean, he's a unique individual, no doubt about it.
So then the seventh race is also an interesting maiden.
This is a brutal race here. I am going to lean towards, I hate the post, but I'm
going
to go.
I know where you're going. You're going to 12.
I'm going with Rubus has some speed, which will hopefully, you know, actually he's a pretty quick horse. Went like 21, 22 and changed 45 and changed in the debut run at Ellis, which will help him with that wide draw. John Tipman, who beat him, stakes place now, came back to run second, I think, in a stakes at Ellis. Ellis Park Juvenile, I believe it was.
And this horse was a beaten favorite that day.
Was the beaten favorite that day. Cost $260,000, son of Majestic Warrior, Song and a Prayer Mare. Get some speed there from the dam side for certain. And Joe Rocco, I like him. Jock.
And the trainer wins at 33% with the maidens in the second start from a 12 horse sample.
That's good.
I love the 6.5 furlong in the debut, and now he's going 6 furlong.
Love it.
Had to get a little tired. Now, the only thing that I will say is that the Song and the Prayer, they're always ready. You know, you don't see too much improvement from first to second time with a Song and a Prayer.
Yeah.
But in this case, I will say that it's difficult to win at 6.5 first start out. A little easier to win, especially when you show speed in your second start. If he runs the same sort of race as he ran in the first race, he'll be pretty tough there. But he does have the outside post position, the 12 post position, which is not really...
It's not terrible. This is a stacked race. I mean, there's all kinds of... You got like a first timer by Distorted Humor for Rusty Arnold, cost $110,000. You got the $450,000 Tappet out of Live and Lovin',
yeah,
for Helen Pitts. You got Won't Get in the Race, but the 16's a half to Taprit out of a Grade One winning Spinaway winner, Appealing Zophie.
That's
cost
right.
$375,000 for Mark Cassie. Won't draw in, I wouldn't imagine. But there's some crazy good pedigree. You got a More Than Ready first, two of them.
Yeah,
right one there. Title ready will be tough in here as well. Start for Asmussen.
I gave him a race on the grass. He's by More Than Ready out of a Monarchos mare, so he's not exactly bred to love the grass. He may like it for the More Than Ready side, but the Monarchos side would be more dirt. And Steve Asmussen just probably getting a race into this horse. him from a whole larger sampling is 20% with his second-time starters. So
he's made like 1,300 starts this year, the Az Muzin barn. It's crazy, right? 1,300 starters, 259 wins.
Do you know the only...
That's salty.
The only stall he has never had a horse in is based in Bethlehem.
Yep, I didn't know where you were going with that, but I had an idea.
Yeah.
I had an idea. No, he's that's a machine. 1,300 starts.
All right, so...
A couple of stacked maidens.
Now the green sheets, John.
Green
sheets?
Tell
us about that.
Had a good day, opening day at Churchill. Kind of hit and miss a little bit. Gave out some good prices at Kentucky Downs, but gave out four winners opening day at Churchill. Positive Beautiful. ROI on the card.
Beautiful.
Had like a $100 try, I think, in there somewhere. So good day. Hopefully we can keep it up throughout the weekend. www.johngaver.com. Free picks, Kentucky Circuit. We'll get Frank back in the mix for the Breeders' Cup, and check it out.
Yep. We'll be back on board pretty soon. So now we got to go off to break here on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM, WLXG. You're on with John Gaver and Frank Lyons. We'll be back.
For nearly half a century, the Northern Dancer sire line has dominated thoroughbred breeding. Galileo has earned his place among the breed-shaping sires from that lineage.
They're into the stretch. Magician has tried to come late.
Now, his best son in North America...
On the far outside, Magician!
...will carry on the legacy.
And Magician runs down the fugue!
Welcome back to WLXG ESPN Radio, 1300 AM... You're on with John Gaver and Frank Lyons, and I'm very happy to have on the phone with me right now, on the phone with us, Nick Casado, the managing partner of Slam Dunk Racing. How are you, Nick?
Oh, I'm doing great, Frank. Just here at the sale trying to work it, and, it's great to be in your presence.
Yeah. So now, is this like a change of kind of your goals or your focus? You're at the yearling sales now?
Well, you know, we've bought yearlings in the past, Frank. We focused a little more on horses of racing age, claiming private purchases, but we've always kind of dealt in the younger market with two-year-olds and yearlings, so it's nothing really new.
Right.
But we have already bought two, so
now what
we get a few more.
What two did you buy?
We bought two fillies, a Union Rag.
Yeah.
And an exchange rate.
Very nice.
Very nice.
I love both those sires.
Love exchange rate in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now,
little bit European on the exchange rate, but you'd love that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Now, how did you start Slam Dunk?
Well, as you know, I was an agent, a jockey's agent for 24 years.
Yeah.
Back in the days when you when you were a trainer.
Yes.
And I started what I thought would be just a small group of guys, about maybe five, six guys with about seven, maybe eight horses.
Right.
And it turned into about 9 or 10 guys managing, I think we have 48 at the current moment.
Is that right? And who's
now with these two, I guess with these two additions, that would put us at about 50.
Yeah, wow, 50 horses. That's incredible, Nick. And like who are your trainers, or who is the trainer?
Well, we spread it out a little bit. We have Simon Callahan, Pete Erton, Michael McCarthy, Richie Baltus.
Nice.
Good
group of trainers.
I try to give everyone kind of an opportunity that helped me as an agent.
Sure. So that puts, I'm surprised you got four.
Well, geez, Frank, if you were training, you'd have everything as good as you were.
There you go.
There you go.
Very good. Now, Nick, are you more of a pedigree guy or an athletic individual type of guy? I know you want both, but if somebody, you know, forced you to pick between the two, what would you go with?
God, you know, that's a great question. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer to any of this. A lot of it's just kind of a roll of the dice.
No doubt about it.
I tend to grab the catalog. I'll kind of nix quite a few of them just on pedigrees. I won't even look at them. I'm sure those could probably fall through the cracks and end up being good horses, but I tend to I tend to go with pedigree first.
Right.
And then scout out the individual after that.
You know, there's an old saying back home, Nick, and that saying goes, an ounce of breeding beats a ton of feeding.
I haven't heard that one, but I think that's very true.
Yeah. It is true.
Well, and so tell us now some of the horses that you guys have been involved in.
Well, two of our recent horses are 2 3-year-old fillies that ran second and third in the Del Mar Oaks. They're both by a European stallion named Sir Prancelot.
Yes.
That would be Beau Recall, who was second, just beating a Zop.
Yeah.
And Madame Dancelot, who was third.
Yeah. Huh.
She won the San Clemente in her previous start. And like I say, those are some of the private purchases that I've dealt with Niall Dalton, Jack Sisterson, and Alex Elliott.
Yeah. Good.
Who helped us find a few of those.
Yeah.
So those would be our two best runners at the current moment. And Madame Dancelot, she knock on wood for me. I'm not around any wood. I'm around a bunch of concrete cinder blocks.
Yeah.
Welcome to Keeneland.
Exactly. She'll be pointed to the QE2, so hopefully in about another month I'll be making another trip out here.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully so. Yeah, we had Richie Baltus on the show. What a great guy. He was talking about
Madame Dancelot.
That mare, yeah, and she went and
won the San Clemente then the next day.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome.
Now, okay, so you guys were just talking to him about a month and a half ago. I thought you meant you were talking to him earlier today.
No, it was earlier,
a few shows back.
So now are you looking for more owners, or do you have enough, Nick?
You know what? You're always looking for new people. I mean, you know, new people gives you a little more money.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make this thing grow also because of my fondness and love for the game.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I don't think you can lie to anyone and say this is the greatest investment in the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's better ways to invest money, but God, if you're looking for a good time with the chance to make money.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
I mean, there's some people that do. But if you're looking for, you know, if you have some extra cash and you want to have some fun and you want to be involved in something and you don't have enough money to own a sports franchise, what better avenue is there than Thoroughbred Horse Racing?
Yeah,
I love that. Well said.
Well said. And now how would you get in touch with Slam Dunk Racing?
Well, we're in the process of building a website. My son is actually working on that. And he's helping me out here at the sale, as a matter of fact. He's just graduated from Arizona State.
That's incredible.
You know. I told him that, you know, I wasn't going to teach him anything about horse racing until he graduated college.
Huh.
So as you know, Frank, you've known the kid growing up.
Yeah.
He's always been around here. It's hard to take the racetrack out of a kid.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Finished
up school, did the responsible thing. Now he's kind of helping me out. So he's building a website. Or you can contact me via my phone number. I don't know if you want me to give my phone number out over there.
I don't think that would be a great idea, Nick.
I'll probably get all the ugly women.
Yeah. Who did you represent as an agent?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Probably be quicker to say who I didn't represent.
Really?
I had quite a few. I mean, 24 years, that's a long time, Frank.
Yeah, I know. We've known each other a long time, Nick.
Some of the names that we would know, I had Corey Nakatani.
Yeah.
I had probably your favorite of all time, Mr. Patrick Valenzuela, 3 different times.
One of a kind.
One of a kind, yes, he is. I had Garrett Gomez, Randy Romero, Joe Bravo, Michael Bays. I had quite a few.
That's like a who's who's.
So now we'd be putting you on this spot by asking you to pick one.
Oh, God.
I know that's not. Barry does this all the time.
And I mean, it's funny because I was just with Doc Alday yesterday.
Yeah.
And we kind of had somewhat of this conversation. Whereas a man that we all respect, Mr. Whittingham,
yeah,
he said no one ever got more run out of a horse than Patrick.
100%. I agree 100%.
And as you know, when you went to the paddock with him, whether you were 20 to 1 or 2 to 5,
you left the paddock
thinking you were going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I mean, he did things like, I mean, we'd go out and how many, you know, people would ask Patrick, how many can you win today, Patrick? He'd say, I don't know, Nick, how many do we ride? 5?
Yeah. He
his positivity related to the horse.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
So I would have to say, in answer to your question, it would have to be Patrick.
And that is, you know, that's coming from the horse's mouth right there, you know? Like, Nick, you've got such great experience and you know the game inside out, but really it comes down to when the riders came to the track, they all brought a little bit of attitude with them, some of them. Now, you know, 100%, when he got to the track, he was going to win a race for you. He made trainers have easier jobs, because when Patrick came to the paddock, the trainer didn't have to talk. Patrick entertained everyone and put enthusiasm in everyone, right, even if you were like 100-1.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, he did. There's no doubt about that. And, I mean, it's a tribute to everything that he's gone through, that even at an advanced age, he was still able to ride.
Yeah.
And a big part of that was because of the way he was as a person.
Yeah. Now, do you have a go-to rider, like your main man these days?
You know what, Frankie? Just like the trainers, I spread it out quite a bit. I mean, I won a race with Iggy this summer.
I love Iggy.
A nice little 30-1 shot. I mean, a small guy needs a chance, too. I wouldn't really say that. I don't know if anyone in California has a go-to rider.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be so different. I mean, you know, Whittingham rode Shoe on everything.
Sure.
Laz rode Lafitte a lot. Mel Studi rode Solis a lot.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it doesn't seem like anyone really has a go-to rider.
Yeah.
At least in California.
Yeah. I mean, it's true because, like, you know, everyone is out for their own good. And, like, unless you have a barn of horses like Charlie had or Bobby Frankel had, you know, you're not going to get a guy to commit to you.
You're not. And as we know, there's probably less loyalty now than there used to be as well.
That's exactly right.
And it's a solid colony. I mean, you've got veterans, got Evan Roman, you've got a good mix, wide range of good riders for trainers to choose from.
So. But in our day, and I'll say our day because, you know, it was maybe today is your day, Nick, but, like, you know, we had like 8 Hall of Fame riders.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that, just incredible.
McCarron, Pinkai,
Delahousie, Solis.
I mean, that's
Gary Stevens.
Toughest room in the country.
Sandy Hawley.
Sandy Hawley.
Right.
You know.
Darryl McCarr. But not too far back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were loaded. You could go 8 or 9 deep, and you really weren't sacrificing much on ability.
Yeah. Do you know that whenever I would ride, like, a kind of lesser rider, you'd always there'd always be a Hall of Famer or two left in the room. And if your rider messed up in any sort of way, you would hear it from the owner. Well, why was this Hall of Famer sitting in the room while this guy rode the horse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So now, Nick, what's your long-term goals for Slam Dunk? Be in the Kentucky Derby winner circle?
God, Frank, I mean, I think that's everyone's dream. You know, I just want to have fun.
Yeah.
I want to keep the partners happy. I want to win races. There's no real long-term goals. I even tell the partners, you know, it's one race at a time. Like, some of the guys are getting excited. They're saying, okay, where are we going to go after the Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, guys. let's make it there first, and then we'll worry about where we go next. Like even with my plans with Slam Dunk, I just want to have fun for now and let the pieces fall as they may. Hey, I'd be happy just to be in the Derby, much less win it.
Yeah. So now what's your responsibilities for running Slam Dunk?
Become a lot. I mean, everything from A to Z, from the billing to picking the horses to buying the horses, to communicating with the trainers, and then coming back and being the segue for the owners. Like I said, what I thought was going to be a little bit of a hobby, you know, with maybe 5 guys and 7 horses,
sure,
has turned into a full-time job.
Yeah, wow.
That's great.
But hey, we love the game. That's why we've been in it so long. So it's, I mean, hell, if you can do this and call it work, we're pretty fortunate.
No doubt. 100%, Nick. So you're still having fun?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When the fun stops, that's when it's time for me to stop.
Well, Nick, it's been great to get the insight into Slam Dunk and to chat with you. We've known each other a long time.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I wish you the very best of luck, Nick.
Got a great attitude.
Thank you, Frankie. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. And, Frankie, I'm going to try to get your ID back.
Okay, thank you. He's got my driver's license for the last 15 years.
I'm not going to go down that road. I don't want to know. Yeah,
no, you don't want to know. Yeah, that's a story for another show.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right, Nick, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, Nicky.
Take care, thanks.
So, well, now we'll go to break here on WLXG, ESPN Radio 1300. You're on with John Gaver and Frank Lyons. We'll be back.
For nearly half a century, the Northern Dancer sire line has dominated thoroughbred breeding. Galileo has earned his place among the breed-shaping sires from that lineage.
They're into the stretch. Magician is trying to come late.
Now, his best son in North America,
on the far outside, Magician
will carry on the legacy.
And Magician runs down the fugue!
Welcome back to ESPN Radio, 1300 AM, WLXG. And, well, Johnny, the first week of the Keeneland sales are over.
Big results.
Big results.
Do you know, new format that they had seemed to be pretty successful. You know, Bob Elliston was on last week talking about it, and I guess they pulled off a pretty successful opening few days there.
Absolutely. Well, the first 681 yearlings sold for, John?
No clue.
$196.6 million
for
an average of $233,000 and a median of $170,000. That's pretty successful, I would say.
Sounds like the handle at Kentucky Downs on like an odd day.
Which is incredible.
It's nuts, right? I mean, the unbelievable amounts of cash going through the windows, the proverbial windows there at Kentucky Downs. Unbelievable. Great betting opportunities.
I mean, that is probably the best meet, and quickly becoming the best meet for gamblers.
It's crazy. There's low takeout on the pick five, especially. And I'm pretty sure across the board it's pretty low, and the fields are full. I mean, you know, you can get a favorite in there that has great form that's maybe never run there. It kind of takes a horse that may run no good. You get, I think the average price I saw before closing day was like $13 to $16 average win mutual price.
Really?
Which is nuts.
Nuts.
Huh. So there's a lot of value to be had. I know people are crying out for more days for them. They only run for 5 days, kind of a boutique meet. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the racing commission will give them some more days.
So let me guess then, was it a European-born rider or a other like American-born rider or South American-born rider that won the riding title?
At Kentucky Downs,
It
was a European rider.
Julien Lepereux.
Yes, and I believe the year before it was also a
Laurent Giroux.
And the year before that was another European rider, Florent Giroux. I think won back-to-back titles there. But, you know, not even back in the day when of Dueling Grounds, Joe Deegan, Jockey Joe owned that place.
Oh, yeah.
Owned it. I mean, it was great. And that was like way before the purses were huge. But it's a cool place. I know you went down there, and I wish they ran more days.
Like, I wish they did, too, because it was a beautiful day, especially for this time of the year with the weather being beautiful. You know, it's just a relax. It's such a peaceful day to go down there.
Yeah, the jocks are mingling around with the fans, and the horses are right there. The outside rail is just, you know, right there on the track apron. You can get up close and personal with, you know, the horses and you know, the connection. As well, it's pretty cool.
The trainers are also pretty relaxed down there. It's kind of like a Del Mar attitude.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
I guess anytime you can get Steve Asmussen relaxed, that's a good thing.
Well, speaking of Steve Asmussen, we got the top 10 racehorses in America, and this is our own personal opinion.
Yep. I think it's a good time to come back and revisit it.
Yeah, I think so. A few of them are running in the next couple of weeks and have run in the last couple of weeks. But who's your number one?
Gunrunner.
Gunrunner is my number one, too.
Gunrunner. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was,
you know, I think in my gut, I think Arrogate's a better horse. But right now, the summer that Gunrunner had and kind of his running style is particularly intriguing to me, where he doesn't have to kind of, and I know Arrogate can lay close as well, but sure. I like that he can kind of rate now a little better than he used to. And, you know, the Asmussen barn did a great job with him this summer, but I got to say that
you know, in my gut, I still think the Judmon horse is a better horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's very hard to say because Gunrunner is so good right now.
He really is.
And he is
sharp as a tack.
He is doing very well. Also, coming out of Saratoga, he really thrived and he won the race of Whitney and the Woodward so easily. And he's got all the confidence in the world. Now, the question is going to be that extra furlong. But at Del Mar, I'm not sure really if that is as important as if it was an East Coast racetrack. Yeah, that's a pretty sharp track. And a horse that gets a good mile and an eighth, and he gets a good mile and an eighth,
yeah,
well, he'll be very effective at a mile and a quarter.
I agree. And, I mean, you know Del Mar better than I for certain. And I get, is it kind of lean towards speed a little bit there? I mean,
it would lean towards speed. You know, the California racetracks are a little harder,
yeah,
you know, and definitely favors speed. But I think that Bob Baffert is going to have Arrogate as good as one could get a
no doubt
horse, and he's not going to let Gunrunner get too far away from him.
No, that's the thing, is he when I first think about that horse, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, he's kind of a closer, you know, he wants to be covered up and make one run, but he's not.
No.
I mean, he's got a very versatile running style. He can lay close. He won the Travers and wire to wire and
broke track record
time. So, you know, I just hope that they get there in one piece, both of them, because it'll be a great race.
Sure, right. And but even though I put Gunrunner on top, coming closer to the race, that's the Breeders' Cup Classic, I will be looking at everything that Arrogate is doing, and he would want to convince me that he's not a sound, good racehorse, which is not going to happen.
Right.
Because Bob Baffert is not going to take the chance of that happening. They would retire him first, and there's no indication of that. Bob Baffert seems to be pretty happy. And also, what I want to say is that the track at Del Mar, Arrogate isn't particularly fond of it.
Right.
But that's going to be a different racetrack in November,
yep,
than it is in July and August.
Sure. Good point.
You know, and Bob Baffert is also going to have the whole meet, this meet, where Arrogate's going to get, you know, he ran, you know, not a great race in the Pacific Classic, but a good race. Still got 110 bar.
I like to see that he was actually finishing.
Finishing.
You know, he just didn't have his, you know, his tail between his legs and kind of going up and down in the stretch. He actually kind of that last, you know, 16th of a mile, he kind of lowered himself down and was finishing. So, you know, I know he doesn't really like it there. I mean, you know, Gunrunner's never run there either.
No,
I don't think so. You know, he may not like it either. So
exactly. Exactly. And
does that set up some, like Arcon coming down the stretch at 300-1?
Do you know, like when Arcon came down the stretch, I'm looking in my program to see who the hell is this
so
horse?
Did I. Yeah. I was like, I didn't even know the horse was in
Jerry
the race.
Bailey?
Jerry Bailey.
That's great. For Andre Fab.
I remember that race just for, I mean,
but
crazy.
Meanwhile, getting back to Arrogate, this is the only chance that you're going to get to get like maybe 2-1 on,
yep,
Arrogate.
Yep.
Yeah. And the Arrogate that won the Dubai World Cup would have been, if he had continued on that path, would have been 1-9
in the
Breeders' Cup Classic.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think people will be scared of Del Mar, how he,
yeah,
that he hasn't, you know, won there. And three starts, I think, I guess. Did he?
No, he did win there. He did. He won last year, but he beat a horse that is running an optional claim.
Okay.
He's still a one other than the horse that he beat.
Okay.
And he's run like five or six times since. Christo, I think, is the horse's name of John Sadler's.
Yeah.
And but he only beat him by 3/4 of a length.
Right, okay.
So, you know, it was Arrogate against a horse that's still a one other than.
I gotcha.
And so that is a win at Del Mar. And his record doesn't look too bad at Del Mar. One win, one second, off the board in three starts.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all. So, number three, who'd you have?
Collected. Number three, off the Pacific Classic win. I like, that's another Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
Very talented horse, you know. Got speed and can stay.
A city zip, isn't he?
I
think he is.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he is a city zip. And, you know, people are going to kind of forget about him. You're going to get the horse that beat.
I guess he's going to the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, why not? But he's going to have to deal with, Gunrunner is going to be up there. I don't know what other kind of speed's going to show up. But he just ran the field off their feet in his last start. And, I mean, he's
100%.
Martin Garcia loves that character. He loves that horse. I don't know. It's the Bob Baffert juggernaut. I can't get by it. I've got collected number three.
I hope you're not going to go Bob Baffert all the way down to 10.
I guess you could. I mean,
you could.
You probably could. Yeah. But I'm not going to. Yeah. I don't think I've got one more of his on here that went kind of down there a little bit.
Do you know what? I actually have Bob Baffert with five horses on here.
I've
probably forgotten about some.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, got the deepest barn in America as far as dirt horses are concerned. I mean, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
You know, I was talking to Michael Dickinson last week, the great English trainer.
The Hoss,
yeah. And, of course, Tappet,
yeah. Horse, yep.
And he was asking me, he said, do you think, Frank, that Bob Baffert is the greatest dirt trainer of all time?
Wow, I don't know. I would say that he's up there, but there's a long litany of good trainers through the annals of time that have had some great dirt horses. Woody Stevens, Charlie Whittingham, come to mind. Ben Jones from the Calumet Farm.
Of course. Wayne Lucas.
Wayne Lucas. I mean, there's a lot, but he is a... he's got great stock.
Great stock. And it's not stopping.
No.
What has he won? Four Kentucky Derbies?
I believe so. And I think he'd be the first one to tell you, that the horse makes the trainer, And he does a great, don't get me wrong, he spots the horse as well, and he's got a great regimen and all that kind of stuff. Kind of breezes him a little quick for my liking, but whatever.
Well,
it's California.
Good horses can breeze.
Yeah. When you're going to hook up, arrogate, and collect it and go five panels and let them rip, I'm like cringing that nothing goes wrong. Yeah. No problem. They'll be fit. They'll be tight.
That's one thing about him is he does send them over tight.
Ooh. Ooh-wee.
And, he's going to be training for, because really the only time any of us trainers are ever going to retire is when they put us in the box.
Right. Right.
Well said. And so, you'd figure that Bob is good for at least another 20 years.
Sure.
So by the time this 20 years, his dominance is so great.
I'd say, when it's all said and done,
when you look back.
Yeah, I'd say there could be. I'm not going to commit to it, but
Sure.
You could certainly make a strong case that he is.
He might get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Yes. Me too.
Me too. Yes. So at number three, I just kind of had a little sentimental a vote here with Lady Eli.
Got her at number four.
Yeah.
How can you not? I mean, she's been steadily moving up the list all summer for me. And, she's a machine.
Machine.
That's all. I don't have the words to describe it. You come back from laminitis and just win repeatedly. It just doesn't happen.
If she was a human, you'd love to know her because she'd have so much heart.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. So I put Shaman Ghost as my number four. I don't know what is the story with Shaman Ghost right now. He got beat last time out.
Had a little throat surgery,
I think.
I don't know what particular procedure, but nothing too major. I don't know if that'll knock him out. I think he's backing off of him a little bit. He's a nice horse, though.
Nice horse. He's honestly the kind of horse that if you had seen him show up in the Classic, you could see... Collected, Gunrunner, Arrogate, focus on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe at a mile and a quarter, if Arrogate didn't show up, maybe Shaman Ghost might be the horse to come and do all of them.
Absolutely. I agree. I've liked him. I don't even have him on the top 10 this week.
Well,
I do like him.
Yeah. So Stellar Wind, I put number five.
I've got Dre Fong at number five.
Dre Fong, that's a horse I forgot.
He's a
machine.
He is fast, man. I mean, he won the Forego, I guess, by, I don't know, the length of the, ran off the TV screen in there. One of the toughest races to win.
And he went off a fair price that day because he had unseated Mike Smith at Del Mar the time before. From the inside, he broke. What would you think about if DeFrong happened to be in the Breeders' Cup sprint and at Del Mar, because it is at Del Mar this year, and he draws the inside?
Oh, man. You know, the racing gods, that probably will happen. If I'm Bob Baffert, and I'm like, yep, we're drawing the one hole. Happen.
Yeah.
Just going to happen.
You know, you think your way into the one hole.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've never liked the one hole in any real circumstance, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
You know what Bob Baffert said about DeFrong that day that he broke from the inside? He said that he had asked Mike to send him, you know, just because he's way the best.
Yeah.
So he said, get him out in front. And he was like, so Mike had a loose rein on the horse, didn't have any sort of hold on him.
Yeah.
So when he moved to the inside, Mike had no, one would have stayed on him.
No. And then in the forego, I think he broke from the widest post of all. I don't know, 10 or something out there. And it was like, you know, they sprung the latch, and he's like two in front. I mean, he is a fast joker.
Think he might get a more fair price because he's much – although Whitmore
is a nice horse.
A very nice horse. Come back this – yes, I'm not sure how he did.
I don't know, but he is fast, and I like him. Ron Moquette has given him some – I know he missed a race in Saratoga, and I'm not sure if he's run back, but he will – if he's right, he'll be in there.
Yeah, and also then Mind Your Biscuits is – a very, very good horse,
very looked good
like
horse.
Till the last start at Saratoga, which, you know.
He's going to do to take a step back, maybe. He's reeled off like 4 or 5 wins, went to Dubai, knocked one out of
it. He was in the Malibu last year, so he didn't have a break at all.
Right. He was due to maybe regress a little bit, but he's a nice horse.
Who's your number six?
Number six, I have Oscar Performance.
Really?
I love the Son of a Gun. I think he's the best 3-year-old in the country, period.
Well, you know who I have at number six?
I don't know.
Oscar Performance.
Oscar Performance.
You know, I do agree with you. I think that if he wins one more Grade One this year.
Yep. You got to go. You got
to
give.
You got to give it to
the Eclipse Award to him. You got to. I mean, the 3-year olds, the dirt horses are just. It's a grab bag.
Yeah.
You know, there's some. You know, I don't know, but this character brings it every time. I mean, Kitten's Joy on the front end. You just come get me and wins.
Yeah.
I mean, he is Brian Lynch has done a great job with that horse. He's a nice colt.
So now, what would be left for the 3-year olds? You'd have the chance against older horses, of course, in the Breeders' Cup Classic, in the Cigar Mile. The Goodwood is coming up. The Jockey Club Gold Cup. There's quite a few opportunities, but they all have to face older horses. But if they did, one of the 3-year olds, Always Dreaming, Cloud Computing, if Gervin, Taprit, if they win another Grade One, they'll be 3-year old of the year.
Absolutely.
And the chances of them winning another Grade One are pretty slim.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know, like you say, the clock's kind of ticking away. We're getting into November now, and, you know, you can't, those restricted races where you can just face 3-year olds are starting to kind of just fade into the proverbial condition book.
Fade into the condition book.
So I don't know. I just like him. He's a nice horse, and I think he deserves at least consideration.
At least consideration
For the Eclipse Award for the top 3-year-old.
For sure.
So, but
and he's got his chance to step up now in the Breeders' Cup. But where would you run him?
Just going to ask you. Yeah. I mean, where's Lynch? Are you going to go with him in there? Do you go in like the Breeders' Cup Mile? That's a tough race.
Tough race.
I don't know. What the option is there, but
maybe the turf at a mile and a half, because he'll definitely get the lead there.
That's probably the call.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
And I don't know if Lynchy knows.
Right.
You know.
He's in a good position, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's in a very good position.
Either way,
I think. Grade Ones on the year, the Belmont Derby and the Secretariat, and he was champion grass, 2-year-old, I guess, last year, even though there isn't a category, I don't believe.
No, I don't think there is. Yeah. He's very consistent. I mean, it's hard not to like him. He shows up to play every time.
And he broke from the from like the 12 hole in the Breeders' Cup last year.
Yep.
But ironically, the first three finishers, I think, broke from the 12 hole, from the 14 hole, and from the 11 hole.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I guess Jose Ortiz rides him, right? Jose fits Ortiz. Him like a glove.
Fits him like a glove.
I mean, he's good on speed, and I mean, it's a good combination, that's for certain.
So, number seven.
Number seven, I have Stellar Wind, the Curlin mare.
Yeah,
she's
great mare.
Yep, hard knocker, that's for certain.
I had More Spirit.
More Spirit, I got down a little lower, have him on here. I'm just not sure what he's doing with him. I saw somewhere, I might be mistaken, that he's thinking grass. I know he got some time off, but he is if you saw his Met Mile win, then you'd want to probably have him on your top 10 list.
Right.
Because he's a nice horse.
Candy Ride, I believe.
He is by Candy Ride, yeah. I think so, yes. Yeah.
So
actually, you know who he's by? Escandarea.
Oh, Escandarea.
I wrote it down, would have never remembered it. Right. I actually wrote it down.
Yeah. I don't know. So then at number eight, I have Collected. I mean, you know, he deserves probably a little more respect. He hasn't done anything wrong, and he's done all that's asked of him. But I just don't believe that he is the, you know...
kind of the race shape of the Classic might work against him a little bit. You know, the pace is... I know that he's fast and can stay and can reel off probably 23 and 47 and change and stay a mile and a quarter. But I don't know. I agree with you. The race setup from a pace perspective in the Breeders' Cup Classic, it doesn't really jibe. I don't know.
We'll give you 8-1.
Yeah. Eight to one. 10.
Yeah. You know, we'll be generous.
We'll be generous.
Now, this next horse that I have on my list is a horse that is a kind of an up-and-coming horse, the winner of the Travers, West Coast. He would be the champion three-year-old. Was he to win the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you know, I guess it's going to come down to on the day, you know. That'll just sort out all that stuff because it's still kind of wide open, that's for certain. Are we down to eight now? We're down to nine. On number nine, I have Lady Aurelia, of all things.
Yes.
Coming off kind of a tough loss, but back with Wesley Ward here in Kentucky. Probably run at Keeneland, I'm assuming. And she's a nice.
All sorts of respect for the daughter of Scat Daddy, who
nice filly.
Is a fantastic filly. She has campaigned in Europe this year, where she won the King's Stand Stakes by many lengths. And then she just got beat in nose.
Yeah, just a dirty nose on the wire in the Nunthorpe.
In the Nunthorpe.
At York.
Yeah.
So I like her. And, you know, she's going to come back in the fall here down the road at Keeneland. So we'll be looking for her to make a big little Wesley Ward off a layoff kind of a move.
There you go. Now, who have you got at number 10?
More Spirit. I put on number 10. I just didn't know what to do with him. I thought he needed to be on here. And I don't know if Mr. Baffert knows what he's doing with him yet, but maybe we'll see him back in at the races here pretty soon.
Well, I've got another Baffert at number 10, Abel Tasman.
Oh man, she's a nice filly.
Nice filly. She's done absolutely nothing wrong since being transferred to the
Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Distaff, yeah. She'll meet up with Stellar Wind there. It's unfortunate that Songbird is retired. That would have been a great, it's going to be a great race anyway.
That's always a good race.
Good race. Last year was the best Beholder.
I mean, it always produces, it seems like, a great finish, and there's been so many nice mares that have won that race that it's, you know, from Personal Winston to Beholder to all the ones that I forgot in the middle. I mean, it's all great race on the card.
Yeah.
Always like that
Zenyatta.
One. Zenyatta. Yep, there you go.
So that's our top 10, and that's our own personal top 10. So argue with us if you want.
Yeah.
And
call in when we have people call in and argue with us.
Yeah, exactly. So now we got out of that top 10. John, how do you feel about that top 10?
Feel pretty good about it. You know, it was nice to bring it back around again. You know, it's hard to. It seems like it's always the Bob Baffert top 10. Though,
Certainly has been this year.
He's the man, though.
Yeah. Well, that's it for another week, folks. It's been great, John. I enjoyed today's show. Nice to talk to Nick Cassato.
I thought he was a great guy. I mean, I really liked what he had to say. He's got some positive
positive outlook on the game and interested in bringing some younger people in, have fun. That's what it's all about. It's easy, sometimes easy to get lost in the pressure of it all, but we're supposed to have fun out there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening to today's show, and you have a beautiful Sunday, rest of your Sunday, and we'll be back next week.